Okay, can you hear me?
Oh my God, what did you do?
I picked up my microphone.
Oh, okay. That's it was coming through your microphone, but you weren't actually talking through your microphone, so it sounded like you were far away from your microphone, because you were, in fact, far away from your microphone.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I'm talking through my
mic. You might actually, after 3 years of podcasting, have learned how to use your mic. But that seems like a dream of mine that I have. So, Kristi Noem, as follow-up, Kristi Noem is not the director of Homeland... not the director of FEMA, but the director of Homeland Security. And Your Cousin Vinny is not a movie... My Cousin Vinny is a movie. Just another follow-up. Just corrections, because I was wrong all over the place last week.
I should have said something. I heard the Your Cousin Vinny, and I just let it go.
Why? So,
I don't know. Because I'm lazy. I don't know what the hell.
I mean, I'm so rarely wrong that you should really take joy in the fact when you can correct
me. I should have.
You should have.
So where are we going to start?
I wasn't even thinking about recording this week, because it just seemed like a dull week until Trump sued the Wall Street Journal. I mean...
God,
this has been a crazy week. You know, I opened up stupidly. I opened up Blue Sky in the middle of the day, and I saw Bondi and Gabbard at the same time attacking Clinton.
I know.
What year is this? Are we running to 2016 or something?
I don't know. I just feel like we live in the upside down.
It's not that. It's definitely not the upside down. That was a lot more professionally done. These kids, they didn't get the memo, like, over and over and over again. It's always the cover-up that gets you people. And all they do, they're just making it so much worse by trying to distract. It's like, okay, show me that there's something in the Epstein files, but trying to be just as distracting as you possibly can by bringing up Clinton.
I know. And her psycho-emotional fits of anger. What the hell was that about?
Oh, and she was apparently on tranquilizers? Right. That makes sense. I totally believe that.
I mean,
where
none
did
of
that,
this.
Do you know where that came from?
What?
The claim that she was on tranquilizers?
No.
That came from Russian security assets.
Oh, fuck.
Right? So this is literally Russian propaganda.
Yeah. Well, and who was
Bondi
saying it?
Bondi and Gabbard are repeating.
Yeah.
It's just, it's madness.
It is madness. I just think we're deep into the stage of...
It's not... And you know what? The Russians even said that they could not confirm that.
Where does reality lie anymore in this country, James? We're in the attack your enemy stage, and they just say anything.
Things that happened. And when you try to defer our attention away from something, it just makes me think that thing actually happened.
Right.
Like, you know, I don't know what kind of relationship Epstein had with Trump. I don't know if Trump had sex with underage girls. It certainly seems like it's in his character based on all the other stuff that's coming. I mean, obviously, he's a sex predator. So this is within keeping that he could be in the Epstein files as a named client?
Well, they said he is, but, you know, seriously, I really am just concerned with the lying and the weirdness that's going on right now in our government.
But the lying, I mean, it's so patently obvious now that they're trying to divert attention from it, that he's got something in there. Right.
You know,
the more they protest, the more obvious it is that there was something in there.
Yeah. What do they call it? The Streisand effect or something? The more
it's always the cover up that gets you.
Right.
You trip up in the cover up. It's like the anti-Streisand, or it's not really the anti-Streisand. It's kind of it's Streisand adjacent.
Uh huh. Okay. Okay.
Because the more you try to divert someone's attention from something, the more the attention they're going to get, because you're calling attention to it.
Right. I think it's I'm just going to kind of whitewash this whole thing a bit. I think that anything that makes Donald Trump look bad just gets under his skin, whether there's there or not. I don't really know, but I just think that he just so needs to look okay.
Catherine, that's true of anybody though, right? It's especially true of Trump, but anytime you say something nasty about someone, obviously that's going to affect them. But Trump really has a problem with it. Like, he cares more about how people think about him than anything else that happens in the world.
Right. Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like his ego is number one.
Definitely.
Like he if he had to bomb Missouri for people to like him more, he would bomb Missouri.
Maybe. Yeah.
Not that anyone would notice, because it's Missouri.
I know.
And probably just call it a tornado.
Okay. Can I just go off on a sub-rant here?
Sure.
I just want to say that the news cycle is wearing me out, James.
Yeah, I keep warning you about that.
I mean, it's just so fast-paced that I just see like hamsters in a cage generating smoke from their little collective feet. I really do. I just feel like we're so in a free fall from reality and truth. I really do believe now that this is by design and is curated with people with influence and a plan. I feel in my head, I sound conspiratorial and I question my own perspectives. All of the breaking news seems so important at any one minute, and then it's completely forgotten the next minute because some other shit just takes its place. Like we're taking like citizenship away from Rosie, and then, you know, so-and-so's in the Epstein files and Hillary Clinton's on tranquilizers and let's arrest Obama. And it's just this weird disconnection, you know, and people in turn, like people in my very small sphere, and just even on like the news or whatever news, I get a lot of it from YouTube. Everyone seems so disconnected, even though we're supposedly so well-informed. And then so many are so strident and vocal in their beliefs, even when it's not supported by facts or common decency. And I'm referring to the Hassan/Jubilee cluster F that went down. That really upset me. My dad used to always say there are more horses' asses than horses. And I really believe him now. I just look at the leadership, and I'm putting that in finger quotes, of these unprepared, unserious, incompetent, untrustworthy people holding positions of great power. Yet they lie to us, right? Bald-faced lie to us, right in front of us, and come across as petty in terms of international politics. I mean, they come across as petty. And as a society, I just feel like we're succumbing to a destructive narrative. And fewer people every day seem to have the desire or the words to stand up and fight because silence is becoming the safer option.
I don't know if that's true, that people are not willing to stand up.
I hope it's not true.
I still see voices standing up. And I stand up, and you stand up.
I stand up. I know. I wonder.
And I think more people were, the Epstein thing seems to be really boiling people's brains, and that's making them stand up. This is sticking. You know, this is really sticking.
Yeah. So you don't think that alternative facts is now a lifestyle brand? Because that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Okay. So it is absolutely a lifestyle brand. Okay. That's a very good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just, I just want to cycle back. You said Hassan, and just to put that in context, Mehdi Hassan is a liberal talking head, analyst. You know, he talks very well. He's well-read. He's well-educated.
He's well-educated, yes.
I'm not his hugest fan. You know, we have some religious, I mean, I'm an atheist or an agnostic, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think he's a practicing Muslim. I know he was, at least at one point he was. We have some worldview issues. But, you know, generally speaking, where I would consider him an ally. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Like, a world in which we were bitter enemies because we had slight differences of opinion on, like,
mm-hmm.
minor things would
mm-hmm.
be the world I want to live in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, arguing about investments in what apartments should we build? Should we build 5-story apartments or 6-story apartments? Or is that too much for this rural neighborhood? Like mm-hmm. those kind of stupid arguments is like what I want to, because at the end of the day, a new apartment's built and that deals with housing. But anyway,
right?
I totally diverted myself from.
You sure have.
What I was trying to
ahead.
Talk about. Sorry about that. So anyway, the point you referenced earlier about Hassan,
mm-hmm.
he went into a group of completely wacko right-wing nut jobs,
mm-hmm.
about 20 of them, and took them on one by one. Mm-hmm. And it was like it looked almost like a sporting event because they all were sat in a circle around him and they were all come to the center to sit down with him and to quote debate him.
Yeah, like a weird chess match with like there was like a 20 right. minute timer or something.
Well,
it
wasn't. So, I think I didn't watch the whole thing, but apparently the circle could vote the person out who's sitting with Hassan mm-hmm, and change out to the next person. But these people are completely unhinged. And generally, if I was in that, having to deal with these people, I would go to violence very quickly because mm-hmm. they were so, so anathema to the American experiment, to civility, to humanity.
Exactly.
You know, one guy, you know, Hassan was saying, trying to get a sense of where his counterpart was coming from, at one point said, "You sound like a fascist." And the guy says, "Oh, yeah, I do. I am a fascist. Mm-hmm. I absolutely believe in fascism." And this went down the road of, we'll have elections until we get the right guy, and then we don't need elections anymore, which is basically where that ended up. So that was what you were referring to earlier.
Right. That's what I was referring to. But, you know, and seeing that, I just really felt that made me feel very heavy and hopeless. And it's like foreign to me. You know,
it is. It should be foreign to you. Know, but don't forget, they've always been here. We had Nazis in the 1930s here. And it wasn't clear in the 1930s that when World War II started up, that we would go in and support England over Germany. There were
exactly.
enough Nazi voices here, say like Henry Ford,
oh, Jesus.
And others of his ilk, a lot of rich people, surprisingly, mm-hmm. Were Nazis. And We overcame it then, and hopefully we will do so now. You know, those voices have always been there, though.
That's crazy. So, I just didn't realize that.
I take some comfort in that they've always been there, and we beat them in the past.
I hope we beat them now, you know, because like I was saying, I feel like I woke up in Oz with the curtain pulled back, you know, and I want this new layer of ick. It's just ick to me to be just wiped clean, to be removed. And so in closing of this silly rant, I'm just saying it'd be nice to wake up in the morning without instantly feeling like the rug of my reality has been pulled from underneath me. I feel like I'm grieving the loss of my life here and my country concurrently. And it's really a lot.
Yeah, I get that. And I can see and understand how those two things would play off of each other and reinforce them in bad ways.
Yeah.
So try to separate them a little bit if you can.
I'm trying. Anyway.
And don't give up on your country yet. It's not dead. And, you know, my hope is that we can beat these people back into the closet. Not that closet. Just, you know, the right-wing closet.
Oh, any closet. You know, I don't know how they lack such humanity. You know, I just don't. I don't understand it. I don't want to understand it. I wish there was, like, crop dusting spray we could spray on them to make them think differently. I don't know. It's terrible.
It's a combination of ignorance and evil. Like, yeah. They want to be evil. They enjoy, and like I said, you know, I've said before, you know, there is a certain pleasure in harming other people.
Yeah. It's terrible.
And it doesn't take much to get past it, but, you know, it's there. I mean, humanity's natural state is to kill one another.
That's what you wrote to me, and I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, if you go back into the Bronze Age, like, everyone was always killing each other. Civilization slowly imposed less killing. The more civilized became, the less killing we had. But that's not to say we didn't, you know, civilizations were good at killing one another as well.
So it takes a lot of work to be a civilized society, is what you're saying.
It does. And one of the problems is I'm worried that what causes us to be our best, i.e. after World War II, we were at our best.
Right.
That generation had to go through World War II to get to that point.
Right.
Of understanding that, you know, it really is better if we could just get along a little bit. And, like, I have to tolerate some of your annoying habits and you would tolerate some of my annoying habits. But we work together and we live together and we don't try to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the world gets a lot better really quickly when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But that lesson may have to come at the cost of millions of people being killed in war. And that's what I worry about, because I don't want to go through that again. These people do. These people won't learn their lesson until their counties are bombed and their family is raped.
We should just probably leave it there, because it's abhorrent to me.
It is.
It's abhorrent.
And it's such a waste of time. The Wall Street Journal published a piece describing a birthday note that Trump allegedly sent to Epstein, showing how buddy-buddy. It was completely... I didn't understand any of it. It sounded like a secret language between people who were probably doing something awful together. I mean, if you insert Enigma for underage girls, maybe it would make sense. And then it's like, that's kind of weird. But anyway, the funniest thing, though, is that Trump is now suing them over it and claiming that it was an exclusive story that then they shared with millions of people. It's like, do people really not understand the word exclusive in publishing stories from a newspaper? Anyway, I thought that was hysterical. Amongst all this awfulness that they are doing, if you look at the things they say and the things they do, just dissect it just a little bit, it becomes almost a parody of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said earlier, the report that Gabbard shared about Clinton taking tranquilizers was a Russian intelligence report that the Russians didn't release because they weren't even sure it was true. And you have Gabbard releasing it.
Right.
It's like the U.S. intelligence didn't even get a chance to review it. But why would they? If the Russians didn't even think it was worth publishing, that's just nonsense. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. It's all unbelievable.
Okay, so it was a week.
It was a week.
Because as unbelievable as that is, my mind is melting a little at the idea that I may need to boycott Star Trek.
Ah, here we go.
Star Trek, if you're not familiar with Star Trek, it's a TV show and a movie series. Mm-hmm. It's a very big thing for Paramount. It's like literally one of their biggest platforms.
Right.
But it has always, from the very, very first show that Gene Roddenberry shared with us, has been a liberal, left-leaning voice of liberalism.
Right, right.
A liberal, left-leaning voice of liberalism.
Right.
It's always been liberal.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem is that it's owned by Paramount, which is owned by Sherry Redstone, who every day seems like she's becoming more and more of a Trumper. This is the Sherry Redstone who owns Paramount, who has recently canceled the Stephen Colbert report because, or I'm sorry, Stephen Colbert report because, yeah, that's how it's spelled.
I know, it really is. It really is.
You only say Colbert if you're from France. So is he even American? Because apparently it wasn't making enough money, even though it's the highest rated late night show.
Right.
Currently. So if you can't, if you have like the best property and you can't figure out how to make money off of it, maybe you should look for other work.
I don't think it was that at all. I don't think it was that.
And Paramount, well, obviously not. And Paramount was, okay, so for those who don't know, Stephen Colbert mercilessly mocks Trump. Mm-hmm. So Trump doesn't like it. And anyone who wants to support Trump or look like they're supporting Trump has to be against Colbert. And if you're his boss, Sherry Redstone, the easy thing you can do is to fire mm-hmm. him, which is effectively what they did. Mm-hmm. And this is also a follow-up on the heels of the 60-minute debacle where, you know, she intervened in the editorial independence of 60 Minutes. So the head guy resigned there. Mm-hmm. So Paramount is just like bending the knee as much as
they can. Yeah.
Did I forget to mention they also basically gave Trump a payoff, a $16 million payoff mm-hmm. in that loss by settling that lawsuit?
Right, oh I know.
Yeah, so this is all
a lawsuit they probably would have won, according to multiple sources.
Oh no, absolutely. It was completely baseless, yeah. as all of his lawsuits have been completely baseless. But you settle them so that you can get your stuff through. Like the reason this is all happening right now is because this other company called Skydance. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's Skydance, the one that makes terrible movies, is trying to buy Paramount. No, look at their movies. The movies they make, it's a list of crap.
What? I don't know.
I don't have the list in front of me, but it was like garbage like Transformers and Mission Impossible.
Oh, God.
Like, okay, do we really need those kind of movies? Oh. I mean, whatever. Not impressed. All right, so Skydance is trying to buy Paramount, and it's owned by this guy named David Ellison. Do you know who David Ellison is?
Mm-mm.
He is the son of Larry Ellison.
Larry.
Who owns Oracle and is like one of the worst people in the world. I mean, he's probably not the worst person in the world, but I've always hated him because Oracle software makes terrible software. And, you know, he's got one of the biggest business software platforms in the world.
Yeah.
And it's really, really bad. Like, literally, I go to the national parks and I see someone struggling with software and I ask them, hey, is that a piece of Oracle software? And this, yeah, it's Oracle. And I go to a veterinary clinic and I see someone struggling with their software. And it's like, is that Oracle software? It's like, yeah, it's Oracle. It's like everyone who touches Oracle software knows how terrible it is. But anyway, so Ellison is also a huge supporter of Trump from day one. His son sounds like he's leaning in that direction as well. The funniest part of this, though, is that not only is Skydance, which is owned by Oracle's son, buying Paramount, mm-hmm. but they just announced a deal where Paramount will be using Oracle software to run its business. So I have to boycott Star Trek because it's now run by fascists and it's probably going to, you know, completely change. These guys are not shy about imposing their will on, obviously, on the shows beneath them. So Star Trek is probably going to shift from being liberal to being, you know, God knows what.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, you know what? I just thought of, I don't know why it took me this long to think about
what?
It. Long-running subplot in the Star Trek, and it's across multiple series. There's a dark universe.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk and Spock go into accidentally switch places with their dark universe selves.
Oh yeah,
that's what it's going to be.
Oh my god,
we're gonna be living in the dark universe.
Oh, we are. We're already there.
That's an easy switch. They can. The content's already there. Yeah, where the Federation is in the light universe, the Federation is a unifying liberal organization that helps people, and you know,
mm-hmm.
and the dark one, it's the humans go out and conquer everybody else.
Oh, I don't know. Hopefully, it won't get there. Anyway. Hopefully, it won't go there. But speaking of Paramount and all of their shows,
well,
do you think the South Park is begging,
you
know, this, what?
I think you need to rein me in. You should not let me talk about South Trek.
South Trek, yeah, maybe that's
Star
where it's
Trek.
Going.
You shouldn't let me talk about Star Trek on the show. That's just should be a non-starter.
Well, maybe we won't have to after this. Once it goes
okay,
to the
so
dark.
South Park, yeah.
You think they're begging for a lawsuit? I was never, you know, to be honest with you, the whole South Park, Family Guy, any kind of animation, etc. I was not a viewer of that. So a friend sent me the clip that I sent to you. And so I watched it. It was a YouTube video. And I'm like, oh, okay, their message is pretty clear. And the message I got was, where does their type of humor like fit when society's narrative is becoming just like the satire it represents?
Right. So South Park is highly satirical.
Right.
As if that's their whole reason to exist.
I guess,
and
yeah.
They usually lampoon the right, but sometimes they lampoon the left, and sometimes they're just so deeply confused that they're lampooning the wrong
It sounds
people.
Like it.
They were good for at least the 5, 6, maybe even 10 seasons. And then they kind of lost their shit.
How long has it been on?
Like all the other shows these days, forever, because apparently you can't cancel a show and create new shows. So they're on season 27, I think.
That's almost 3 decades. That's like
Been around for 30 years. It's just that they skipped a couple of years because, you know, they're lazy Hollywood types that don't work every day.
Oh my God.
Now, I remember one time. So I felt like I was on board with them politically and mm-hmm. I understood them politically. We were basically comrades. And then they did this piece about Al Gore and climate change, and I didn't understand it. It's like they must be on some level, a meta level above me in satirizing it, because I don't understand what they're saying here. It took me a while to realize that they didn't believe global warming was happening.
Oh, interesting.
So they were actually, it wasn't. They just didn't understand that it was happening. So, you know, they're not the smartest guys in the world. They're pretty good at satire and making cartoons. But, you know, when all is said and done, they're not the brightest guys. But they generally have a lot of good mm-hmm. political takes, and their satire is based on that. Their satire is usually pretty good.
Right.
And so this latest show, like, just completely lambasted Trump and literally put him in bed with Satan. Like, I'm not making that up, but like literally in bed having sex with Satan.
Right. Evidently, it was like a callback to a Saddam Hussein. Yeah. And then Satan in this episode was in the clips, because I will not download. I actually removed Paramount's app from my LG TV.
Your LGBTQ TV?
My LGBTQIA plus TV. And that's a good one, because I don't want to be tempted to pay for it. Like I said last week, I couldn't even get down with paying 99 cents for 2 months. And so I just don't want to be 10. So I won't be watching the South Park episode unless I could find it mm-hmm. somewhere that's not related to Paramount. But I don't care. I've seen enough. What am I saying? Anyway, I guess it was a callback to the Saddam Hussein thing. But I thought it was really outrageous, the stuff that I was seeing. And I couldn't believe that it was aired. The hell?
Yeah.
Literally showed like full frontal animated nudity mm-hmm. with a little talking penis.
Oh, I didn't see that. And then at the end, that's not uncommon for them. They have been pushing the bounds since forever.
I've never, like I said, I wasn't. I don't watch the show, and I was really surprised, without watching the whole thing. I just watched the synopsis on YouTube, that it could even air, or did they just get it under the gun? And they got like what, billions, if not like 1.5 billion.
Oh my God!
For like another 50 episodes.
Yeah, that's insane.
You think this will tank the contract, or they're just going to ignore this?
I don't know.
For another, 50 episodes?
Oh, yeah, which is crazy for them. That's like,
I read that somewhere.
That's at least 5 seasons because of the way they don't work so much.
I mean, do they want the show to end?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean,
are they saying we don't want to be told what to say?
I mean, it's a lot of money. But they've always done that. The biggest controversy, and I don't know if this is going to be bigger or smaller than their biggest controversy overall was around the Prophet Muhammad, because they had an episode where they were trying to show.
I remember that. Mm-hmm.
And at the last minute, Comedy Central, I think the current owners, the then publishers of it, pulled the show. And then, and then they aired the show, but they cut out the scenes with Muhammad. And this, of course, was not happy making for Trey Parker and the other guy, I can't remember his name, Matt Stone. Mm-hmm. They were very annoyed by that. And I think after that, they tried to take more editorial control and publishing control over the show. They still, mm-hmm. Apparently they got it, because they have every season, they seem like they upped the ante as to what would be acceptable. With how they got past mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. censors is kind of surprising in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, this was really, I mean, and again, not having watched the show, I thought that this was surprising. From the Jesus is literally in school to how they were,
Jesus
their take
died
on
in
60
Iraq.
Minutes. No, Jesus was in this episode.
No, but they killed him in Iraq a few years ago.
And now he's back. Yeah. Well, I guess he was resurrected. I don't know.
Can they do
and,
that?
I don't know. I guess.
Cartoons, you can do anything.
Yeah. And then at the end, it was like, he gets us. He gets us all, or whatever. Like that Christian thing. You know, it was just really.
I don't know what you're saying now.
Oh, you gotta watch the. Yeah, you gotta watch the clip I sent you.
I told you I couldn't watch it.
It was off the hook. I know you got. I mean, seriously,
I don't want to watch. I appreciate. I like the first 10 seasons. I think they're great. After that, it gets a little bit spotty. But I still appreciate South Park. I still will watch it. But I don't want to watch someone telling me how to interpret South Park. Well, it feels like I'm going to school.
Well, no, they weren't. Did they? I don't know that they really told you how to interpret it.
That's what they were doing. They were interpreting it for you.
Okay. It's like, but again, I'm not going to watch South Park. I'm not going to do anything with Paramount. But I'm just curious. Like, do you think freedom of speech is dying?
It's under threat, obviously.
Yeah.
It's one thing that Trump is attacking free speech. What's almost worse is the institutions that are just taking it and rolling over. Mm-hmm. That's almost worse because it's not so much that he's trying to take it away from you, but people preemptively are giving it up. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, more dangerous.
Well, that's the first, like, against tyranny, you know, or on tyranny, what was the first rule? Like,
don't submit in advance.
Don't submit in advance, yeah. I feel like they did, even Colombia.
As far as not submitting, I saw a really funny clip this morning about Powell standing next to Trump and Trump, like, trying to tear him a new one about how over budget the renovations have gone for the Federal Reserve. And Powell's like, Trump is giving new numbers. Oh, they're like $3 billion over. And Powell's like, no, I haven't seen that yet. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, it came out this morning. So he pulled out a piece of paper and he handed it to Powell. And Powell's like, this adds a building that was already built. So this isn't part of the, it's like, this was built 5 years ago, bro. You can't count that here. And so Powell's like, it's like the adult in the room. There's at least one adult in the room. So that's fun.
That's fun. That's good.
I thought that was hysterical. Trump doesn't know how to handle that kind of stuff. So he just basically ignored it, which is even funnier.
Of course. Yeah. It's like we're living in some sort of weird satirical timeline, aren't we? If it wasn't so damn annoying. Can I just say one thing? Let's just maybe if we're going to end this.
Wait, didn't I already let you say one thing?
You said, I know, I'm just on a tear here. I'm just this absolutely morbid maudlin tear. Rest in peace. I mean, so many people have passed in the last several days. You know, Ozzy and Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Who is that?
Hulk Hogan. Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Yeah, I don't know that.
He played Theodore on the Bill Cosby show.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay, gotcha.
And Hulk Hogan yesterday. And then Chuck Mangione.
Okay, who's Chuck Mangione?
He was a flugelhorn player, jazz artist back in like the 80s-ish, 90s.
Okay.
And he was it was like kind of a light jazz. He was one of my favorite artists back in the time. I remember going to, I might have been in high school. I can't remember. It was high school or very early college. And we went, maybe it was high school. No, it wasn't high school.
Catherine?
It was college. It doesn't matter.
That's
okay.
What I'm trying to say.
I know. Okay. Doesn't matter. But anyway, I went with a friend of mine, Gary. We went to see Chuck Mangione. And it was one of the best concerts. It was over at the Celebrity Theater. I remember going to the Celebrity Theater. And it was just like a night of magic music. I wish that I had been able to record it. It was so beautiful. And I was really sad yesterday when I heard that.
Okay. Glad.
Yeah.
For that.
So a lot of people are opting out of this timeline.
Well, Ozzy Osbourne died 25 years ago. Everybody knows that. He fell off an ATV and died. What episode was that when you told me he was still alive?
I can't remember, but you thought he was dead.
Yeah, literally for 20 years I thought he was dead, and I didn't notice that he was still alive. How do you go through? So I guess he didn't have much impact on my life if I thought he was dead. I mean, that was probably the worst thing you could tell him or Trump. It's like, oh, Trump? I thought that guy died 20 years ago. That's probably the worst thing you could say to Trump. It's like that didn't even hear anything about him for the past 20 years. And Hulk Hogan, you know, big Trump supporter, so I don't give a shit that he's dead.
I know. He was, you know, iconic, though.
I don't give a fuck if he's iconic.
I'm saying I'm sad. I didn't know any of these people, but Ozzy
me. Chuck, you went to see one of his concerts.
Oh, Chuck Mangione. I really loved him and Ozzy. I don't think I ever gave enough credence to his music. They're playing it nonstop. And I was really taken by the musicality and the lyricism of his work. And I didn't give him his due back in the day because heavy metal wasn't my thing.
Yeah, I didn't like the sound, so I never listened to it.
Yeah. I mean, I listened to Iron Man the first time and I'm like, what the hell? And then I just kind of tuned it out. But he was actually a really good musician and a really good songwriter. So anyway, that's all I have.